to 24 from verse 36. You can find that on page 1062 in the Blue Bibles. So Luke 24 from verse 36, 1062. Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord.
So as a church, we journey through Lent together. We build up to Holy Week, and together we tell the story of Jesus's betrayal, his arrest, his crucifixion. And then we gather on Easter Day and we have this amazing celebration of new life. Christ is alive. And then, as Jess said, without prompting, we go back to normal. And school starts again tomorrow, and everything returns. But the truth is that because of Easter, we don't go back to normal. Because of Easter, we have a new normal. And so my question for us today is, are we living differently because Easter has happened? Are we living differently because Easter has happened? And so we're not going to race away from the Easter story. We're going to stay with it to ask that question. And our reading that Che read for us this morning begins on the evening of that Easter day. And if you were to describe the kind of mood of that group of people gathered together, disciples and others who'd been journeying through that weekend, friends of Jesus, I think maybe the word I'd use would be confused. They've had this traumatic experience that they have lived through together. And then on that Sunday, they've had various people coming to them and telling them accounts of things that have happened. They had the women come back to them and say, "The tomb is empty." Then they have Mary come back and say, "He is risen. I have seen the Lord." And you kind of, I would love them to have all gone, "Hooray, it's true." I wonder how many of them went, "Mary, you sure?" And what's happened in Luke's gospel just before the reading that we had today is that story of the two friends who are walking to Emmaus. And along the journey, with their hearts downcast, Jesus comes alongside them and talks with them. And as he sits with them to eat and breaks the bread, their eyes are opened and they know that it's Jesus. And they run 7 miles in the dark back to Jerusalem to say, we have seen him. So these accounts have been coming, but can they believe them? And then Jesus appears amongst them. Jesus appears, and at that moment he says those amazing words, peace be with you. Now, peace be with you was a normal greeting. It was what you said to people when you met them. But there's a sense, too, of a far deeper reality now of that peace that can be given. Because of the resurrection, Jesus can say, my peace I give to you. You are now able to be at peace with God and know his peace within you. Now, the human circumstances for those disciples hadn't changed, actually. The Romans were still occupying the land. They were still in charge. The Pharisees were still on the lookout for the followers of Jesus. Remember, they had sent him for trial for blasphemy, and they had wanted him to be killed. And so his followers were in danger. That was all still true, that human circumstance of the Romans and the Pharisees. And they're gathered together. But now everything has changed because Jesus is risen. And he can say to them, I can give you my peace. And that peace that passes understanding. But for them to receive it, they need to believe that it's really Jesus and that he's really alive. Jesus is there. And it says that there are doubts rising in their minds. So what does Jesus do? He knows that. He knows that they're before him and there's a sense of doubt. I think he does three things. The first thing he does is that he invites them to draw near. He invites them to draw near. He wants them to be able in a moment to see and to touch. He draws them near. Now, you know, I think that is a bit of the opposite to what we do. When doubts, uncertainties rise in our hearts and minds, I find that often people say, well, I'm just not sure about things at the moment. I'm just feeling a bit uncertain about faith. I feel really distant from God and I've got all these questions and I'm not sure. So I'm just going to give church a break for a bit. And they step back. Or maybe I'm just not sure I'm going to not go to home group this week because I just don't know what I think. But Jesus, knowing they've got these doubts, knowing these questions, says, don't stand back, draw near. Draw near. Gather with others. Jesus promises us that when two or three are gathered, he is present. He invites them to draw near. And secondly, he invites them to examine the evidence. He invites them to examine the evidence. He says, see the wounds on my hands and feet. First of all, he wants them to know it's really him, Jesus. Because we know that this resurrection body is different somehow, but it's him. And then he wants to show them that it's a real flesh and blood body. And so how does he prove that to them? He eats in their presence. He says, give me some fish, and he eats some fish in their presence. And this was really important. Luke, who's writing this gospel with a Greek background, we think, would have been really familiar with the philosophy that, you know, the spirit is separate to the body. And so things can happen to the body, but the spirit will continue. But that wasn't what Jesus had said. That wasn't the Jewish understanding of our bodies and our spirits and our minds all interconnected. And that actually there would be a bodily resurrection, a new resurrection body. And Jesus, therefore, eats this fish in front of them. He invites them to examine the evidence. I don't know if any of you have been watching the latest series of Pilgrimage. It's been on BBC Two, There's a few nods, and they're partway through the series. Now, I haven't watched this series. It's a group of kind of minor celebrities, if that's a word, and they send them on a pilgrimage. And this group, this season, they're walking through North Wales, stopping at various kind of places where some of the Celtic saints were part of things, and on this journey. And the conversations amongst this mixed group of people are always fascinating. And they come from different backgrounds, and they've got different experiences of faith and different faith journeys. But there's a clip that you can watch at the moment of one of them, because one of the people on the pilgrimage this time is Spencer Matthews, who is famous for, people don't want to admit this, Made in Chelsea. Yes. So that wonderful, which I've never actually watched an episode of, but kind of, you know, so-called reality show, Made in Chelsea. Spencer was a key person. But on this walk, he's discovered something. And he says that he is totally and utterly amazed that there is evidence that Jesus was a real person. And you can watch this clip of him turning in amazement to his friends. He's like, I just thought it was a fairy story. He genuinely thought it was a fairy story that some people believed because it had good morals and good values. And he's saying, you're telling me that historians actually think there was a person called Jesus? And it's actually one of the Muslim guys who goes, yes. Because there is historical evidence for a person who lived called Jesus. But how many people have never examined the evidence? It is a real person who lived and died. And then we can talk about the evidence for the resurrection. And we could spend a long time thinking about the ways in which actually many people with brains far bigger than I have set out to disprove the resurrection and actually have come to the conclusion it takes more faith to believe it didn't happen than to believe it did. Because if there'd still been a body, the Roman guards would have produced that body to save their jobs or maybe their lives. And if there had been a body, the Pharisees, the Jewish, would have got hold of it to stop this rumor that was going around that the disciples were saying he was alive. But they couldn't. And if he'd not really risen, would those disciples have given their very lives for it? There is evidence for the resurrection. Jesus invites them to draw close. He invites them to examine the evidence. Now, we might not be able to see Jesus sitting in front of us eating a piece of fish, but we have the witness of those disciples. We have their testimony, their stories of the way that they met with Jesus. And they also have the testimony of those who've met with him now, who have experienced his presence. It's a challenging truth for each of us to get our heads around. Sometimes, like them, it can feel so amazing, it feels too good to be true. But did you notice that in that reading, it says that they were kind of overcome with amazement and joy, so they didn't really believe it? That's a fascinating thing. It's almost that sense of, this is too good to be true. And sometimes I think we have to understand all the mechanics of it and understand it before we can experience the presence of Jesus. And do you know, it's often the other way around. Often we have an experience of the presence of Jesus, his peace, in a way that we can't explain. And it's then that Jesus takes us on a journey of understanding. And that's what Jesus does thirdly. He invites them close. Then he invites them to examine the evidence. And thirdly, he opens their minds to the scriptures. He talks about the way the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And that was the three divisions of scripture, the Hebrew scriptures. It means the whole of the testimony of those scriptures were pointing to Jesus, his death, his resurrection, and that opportunity of new life. I wonder We've prayed it this morning, but when was the last time that we prayed, Lord, open my mind, that we can have that experience, like Claire was saying, of reading a passage that maybe we've read many times before, but hearing something new as Jesus opens our minds to it. He gives us his peace. He comes with his presence. And then Jesus gives them a purpose. He says, you are to be my witnesses. Witnesses that I am alive. That I have defeated that final enemy. I'm going to send you, he says, to all the world. But first, wait. Wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. For they cannot do it in their own strength. Now, the great news is we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait. For the Holy Spirit has been given to us. We live post-Pentecost as well as post-Easter. And so we have been given the Spirit to live differently, to live a new normal, to live in the light of Easter in a way that witnesses to those around us. But how do we do that? Well, some of that witness might be in the way that we talk, in the way that we speak. How many people, how many Spencers are out there who think it's a fairy story and have no idea of the documents that we have and the evidence and are longing for a conversation about it? But it's also in the way that we live, for we no longer need to fear. Like those disciples gathered in that upper room, the context around us can feel pretty bleak at times. And the temptation to fear can rise. But Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, comes with his presence into our situations that we do not need to fear. We no longer need to feel alone. Whatever our circumstances, for Jesus is present by his Spirit. We no longer grieve as those with no hope. It doesn't mean we won't grieve. We will grieve. There are sadnesses and heartbreak at those whom we have had to say goodbye to. But we don't grieve as those with no hope. And that's the difference. We have a hope in the one who was raised to new life, that he has overcome, that each of us might live life eternal. I wonder this morning, are we living a new normal? Are we just going back to life as it was? Are we living an Easter life, one in which our hope and our confidence is in the living Lord Jesus? Let's just be still and be quiet for a moment. In a moment, I'm going to pray for that gift of the Holy Spirit for each one of us, that we can live those Easter people lives, that we might be a witness in the places we will go to. But in the quiet, what do you need to ask God? Maybe that you need to hear him say peace to you again in the circumstances you're in. It may be that you need, in the midst of all your doubts and questions, to hear him say again, draw near. Maybe that you need that equipping for those places you're going to be going into this week, where you long to be living an Easter witness. Holy Spirit, will you come now and refresh and renew each of us? Where we have doubts and questions, will you open our eyes to see you? You open our minds to understand. Where we need your peace, come with your peace, we pray. Where we watch the news and fear rises, will you come with your peace that we might stand in the midst of the storm? Come with your Holy Spirit to equip us to be your Easter people, to witness to your death and resurrection and the life that you bring. In Jesus' name, amen.